Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, welcome to Finish Well Radio. I'm your host, Meredith Curtis. I'm super, super excited that you're here. Whether you are a teen or a parent or a homeschool grad, this show, I promise, is for you. Do you struggle with guilt and condemnation? Do you compare yourself to others and feel like you don't measure up? Do you sing songs in church about Jesus but not feel any kind of emotion in your heart? Do you think it's hard to live the Christian life? If that's you, if you said yes to any of those things, please, please, please stay tuned and prayerfully listen to this podcast. And I hope and pray that God will fill your heart with joy by the end, because what I'm going to talk about is so precious to me, and I want it to be precious to you too. One of my new favorite songs is by Cody Carnes, and I don't know if you've ever heard of him before, but he's married to one of my favorite worship leaders, Carrie Jobe, and Cody is a great, amazing worship leader too. He has this song. I'm a worship leader, and sometimes you introduce a song to the congregation, and they take a while to really, really love it. Sometimes you introduce a song, and the first time that everybody sings it, they're so excited and moved emotionally. And that's how this song was. It's called "The Cross Has the Final Word." And I'm going to just read you some lines from it. "The cross has the final word. Sorrow may come in the darkest night, but the cross has the final word. There's nothing stronger, nothing higher, nothing greater than the name of Jesus. All the honor, all the power, all the glory to the name of Jesus. The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Evil may put up its strongest fight, but the cross has the final word." So what does that mean? What is the final word? And I'm going to share with you some things the Lord has shown me and Christians all over the world throughout history from the Word of God about the cross that I think will help you understand why this young man can sing "The Cross Has the Final Word" and move Christians, in my church at least, to tears as they sing it. Well, how does the cross impact your life today? Isn't that just a historical event that took place 2,000 years ago? Well, let's go back a little bit before the cross first and talk about the sin problem. You see, God is a holy God, and we definitely in our day and age don't understand holiness. I'm not sure any time in history people have understood holiness. Yeah, there have been some outbreaks of revival, and maybe people had a glimmer of understanding holiness in those times. But God is absolutely perfect. He's clean. He's pure. He is without blemish or spot or wrinkle. Everything about him is sparkling, bright, holy, and righteous and good. And because we live in a fallen world, it's so hard for us to comprehend that. But the nature of God is to be holy. And the nature of sin is to be the exact opposite, unholy, without a desire to be good, with a desire to please self instead of God, with a desire to do what feels good rather than what is right. And so that's the nature of sin. And we live in a time, and I think throughout history this has been true, when so many people are addicted to sin. And, you know, when I say addicted to sin or be a sin addict, you're probably thinking, oh yeah, I'm thinking about that alcoholic down the street, or maybe the drug addict. You know, I'm thinking about all those people. But do you know, we were all sin addicts before we came to Christ. And maybe you haven't come to Christ right now. And when I say that, that's a little offensive. And I'm sorry if that offends you, but the Bible says that before we come to Christ, that we have a sin nature and that it is that nature to be selfish. It is that nature to do what I want to do instead of what God wants me to do. It's even hard to do what is right. And so even if we think, oh, I want to be a good person, that desire to do evil just stirs up within our soul. And so that is kind of the problem, because here's God and he's holy, and here's people and they're sinful, and of course the consequences of sin is death. God was pretty straightforward with Adam and Eve. If you touch this tree, you will die. And of course we see that our bodies begin to decay, and eventually every one of us, unless Jesus comes back, will all die. And that's not how God created things in the beginning. That's the result of sin. And it's a consequence of sin. And God said, the soul that sins will die. Now, I just want to give you a picture. Imagine a bright, bright light. It's so bright. It's just magnificently bright. And you bring a shadow into that light. What will happen to that shadow? It will just disappear. Now imagine a burning, raging fire. And you bring a tiny wood chip into that light. That fire, and what will happen? It will just burn up. See, the holiness of God is so holy and so powerful, sin can't stand in its presence. So here we have the problem, the sin problem, I like to call it. But then we have the heart of God. And God is not only holy, he's full of love and compassion. And he has to punish sin because it's his nature, that the holiness of God will not allow sin to go unpunished. But his love and compassion compels him to want to have a relationship with the people that he's made. He loves us. He wants us to be right with him. So he's chosen to satisfy his wrath with his own son, with himself. He is going to satisfy his own wrath. He's going to render the judgment. And then he's going to take the punishment. If you can even imagine, like, a judge saying to a criminal, you are guilty. Boom, he slams the gavel down. Then he takes off his robes and he runs around and he has the policeman or guard arrest him and says, I'm going to take your place. I'm going to be executed instead of you. And that's what God's love had him do. God loves so much that the Bible says that when we were still his enemies, God loved us and gave his life for us. So that's kind of the background to the cross. We have this sin problem, but we have this God who loves us, who wants to be right with us. And so now the decision rests with Jesus Christ. What will he do? The Bible says that Jesus did not have his life taken from him, but he gave it up. And you see him in the Garden of Gethsemane struggling. Lord, if it's possible, if there's another way, please, 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 I don't want to do this. But not my will, but yours be done. Jesus gave up his life. And why was he struggling so much? Because of a horrible, painful death? I think why he was struggling so much, yes, it is actually the most horrible form of death the world has ever known, but he also was going to take on the sins of the whole world. And that meant every sin ever committed. You know how you feel guilty after you tell a lie, or you feel guilty after you've been disrespectful to your parents, or parents, you feel guilty when you've screamed at your kids? Or maybe you've called in sick when you weren't really sick and you kind of feel guilty, you feel bad, and there you are, guilt, full of guilt. And now imagine how much guilt there would be and how much shame for the sins that every single person in the whole world ever committed. And that's where Jesus was. That's what he was doing. He was taking on the sins of the whole world. And then he experienced the wrath of God. God poured out his wrath on him. And you can see that. You can see the sky turning black. You can see the heavens and the earth shaking. There was an earthquake. And you can see this wrath of God being poured out. And then what happens? The temple curtain is torn in two. Why? Because it is finished. Now we have access with the Father. Now we have access with the Holy God, because God has made a way through the cross. Because the soul that sins must die unless Jesus dies in your place. Isn't that awesome? And so that is what Jesus did. So I know some people try to downplay the cross and say, isn't that so sweet? Jesus showed how much he loved us by dying for us. No, it's not sweet. It's not cozy and cuddly. It's horrific. And it's so beyond demonstrating his love for us. It did demonstrate his love for us in a powerful, powerful way. But it also canceled our debt. It canceled the debt we owe to God the Father because of our sin. It's gone. We're debt free, guys. If anyone, you've ever known someone whose mortgage has been paid off and they're like, we're debt free, we're debt free. We are debt free. We don't owe that price anymore for our sin. It's been paid. The wages of sin has been paid. And death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. What happened? Could death hold Jesus down? No, it couldn't. He rose from the dead. And so death, the final enemy, in 1 Corinthians 15, it calls death the final enemy. And Jesus conquered the final enemy. So now we know that when we face death, if we believe in Jesus, if we have committed our life to Jesus, when we face death, it's just passing over. It's passing over to be with Jesus forever. We will live forever. We will live forever because of Jesus. And so that is so exciting. Wow. But now something else happened on the cross. The power of sin in a Christian's life is broken. What do you mean? You have no idea. This is what you're saying to me right now. You're saying, you have no idea. I can't stop sinning. That is a lie. If you have given your heart to Christ and believed and trusted in the finished work of Christ, if you're listening to me and you have never surrendered your heart to Jesus and never trusted his finished work on the cross, then right now, stop listening to this podcast and give your heart to Christ. Accept what he's done on the cross for you and surrender your life to him. Repent of your sins. Tell Jesus how sorry you are for sinning against him, for living your own life, for rebelling against his lordship, and give your heart to Christ, and then turn the podcast back on. But if you have given your heart to Christ, the power of sin in your life is broken. Why? Because you feel like it? No, because the Bible says it's broken. It is broken. And if you're a daughter or son of Jesus Christ, the power of sin in your life is broken. I'm going to talk a little bit more about how to live in that. We will get to that, I promise. And also another thing is that there is resurrection power for the Christian who has believed in Jesus. There is resurrection power. So the Bible tells us that same power that God exerted when he rose Jesus from the dead is in us. It's working in us. That's so exciting. Wow. Resurrection power. The next time something happens to you and you think, I can't do this, you just say to yourself, of course I can do this. I've got some resurrection power living in me. And if that resurrection power rose Jesus from the dead, it definitely can help me now. The power of the cross. This can sometimes be really confusing to us. We say, okay, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. I believe that, and I believe my sins are forgiven. But how do I walk in the power of the cross? How do I walk in freedom from sin, from fear? Well, here's the secret. The Bible says that we died with Christ. If we're in Christ, then we also died with him. So Galatians puts it this way. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, that means me, Meredith Curtis, doesn't live anymore. Who's here? Not me, not Meredith Curtis. She's gone. She's dead. And what life is living now in her body? It's Jesus in Meredith Curtis. So the flesh is gone, but Jesus is here, and Jesus now lives his life through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it means. You know, people say, I have Jesus in my heart. No, you have Jesus everywhere. He's alive. He's living his life through you. And you are dead to your old nature. You're dead to sin. So now when you sin, it's against your nature to sin. It's not normal. You know how you feel that guilt now? You think, wow, before as a Christian, I never felt guilty. But now if I sin, I feel so guilty. Yes, because it's not your nature anymore. You have a new nature. The old nature wanted to be selfish. The new nature wants to love. The old nature wanted to please yourself, please the world. The new nature wants to please God. And so you have a new nature within you. And the only way Satan can get you to sin is to lie to you. And that is a whole nother podcast. But when the devil starts lying to you, God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you. This is too hard. You just stomp your feet and say, no, devil, that is a lie. And I'm not listening. Because you have a brand new nature. You have got the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in you. And the only way the devil can get you to sin is to lie to you. You have to do this. This will feel so good. No, it won't. And there'll be consequences, and I don't want them because I have a new nature. I'm in Christ. I've been crucified, and Jesus is alive in me. Galatians 2:20, maybe God wants you to memorize that verse just so that when the devil attacks you, you can just declare it out loud and say, forget it. I belong to Jesus. When we do sin, we can confess our sin and receive forgiveness. So before we came to Christ, our sin meant eternal separation from God or hell. But now we can confess our sin and receive forgiveness. The Christian life is about surrender, not effort. So if you're trying to live your Christian life by saying, okay, Jesus forgave all my sins, now with every ounce of energy I have, I'm going to live for him, you're kind of missing it a little. Should you live with every bit of energy for him? Yes, yes, yes. But it should be his energy in you, not your own energy. The Christian life is about surrender. It's about yielding. It's about not my will but thine. It's about Jesus, have your way. It's in every moment, in every situation, yielding to Jesus, saying, take over, Lord. You do this. You speak through me. You love through me. You give me direction. So we're no longer slaves to sin, but now the Bible says we're slaves to righteousness. Jesus is now in control, and we're serving him. Before, we thought we were in control, but the devil was really in control. But now we know we're not in control, and Jesus is in control. Grace saved us, and grace enables us to live the Christian life for him. So, you know, we were saved by grace, and in Galatians, Paul's like, hey, you guys, you're saved by grace. Why are you trying to earn God's favor now? So we always have the favor of God, but we also have the power in us by the power of the Holy Spirit for God to live a holy, pure life through us. And that is so exciting. And it's not because we mustered up. It's not like, okay, today was better, and then I'm going to get stronger tomorrow. Every single day, right now, you have the power. If you are a Christian, you have the power to live for him. You have the power for Jesus to live his life through you. And that is so exciting. That is really, really exciting. So what is the cross's final word? I'm going to tell you. The cross's final word is this. Brother and sister in Christ, you are forgiven. Your sins are wiped away. They are no more. you are forgiven. Brother and sister in Christ, your debt is paid. You are debt-free. What a reason to rejoice. You don't have to pay the penalty for your sin anymore. It's been taken care of. Brother and sister in Christ, you are free from sin. Sin has no hold on you. Sin has no power on you. You can reject the devil's lies. You have the power of the Holy Ghost to stand up, to live a holy life. And when you sin, you can repent. If you do sin, you can repent, and God will forgive you. Brother and sister in Christ, you have an advocate with the Father. You have a lawyer. You have a defense lawyer who says, hey, don't look at him. Look at me. Don't look at him. Look at me. And what does God see when he looks at his son? Perfection. Perfection. Brother and sister in Christ, you are lavished with love. You are lavished with love. How great is the love the Father has lavished on you that you should be called children of God. And that is what we are right now. That's so exciting. And what we will be has not yet been known. Not only is it so great now, it gets better and better and better. And it's so exciting. Brother and sister in Christ, no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends, is the kind of love Jesus has from you. It's the kind of love Jesus has for you. Jesus laid down his life for you. He loves you. He's lavished love on you. He's demonstrated that love by laying down his life for you. There's a movie that I saw, and it's really bloody, so I'm not necessarily recommending it, but it's called Hacksaw Ridge. And there's this Christian medic, and he is rescuing Americans. Just one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. And he had to climb up this rope ladder to get to the ridge. And then he'd have to go, like, avoiding fire to get to the soldier and scoop them up on the stretcher and take them back down this rope ladder. And so he would climb up the ladder and he would say, one more, Lord, please, just one more, Lord, please, just one more. And there he was risking his life. He would not carry a gun because he was actually a pacifist, but he was the only non-military person to receive the awards that he did because he risked his life under fire and saved so many men. And so there he is climbing up, climbing down, just one more, Lord, just one more, Lord. Not only has the cross done all those things for you, God has begun a good work in you. And he will carry it on to completion. And you, dear brother and sister, are entrusted with his glorious gospel message. So I hope that the cry of your heart is, Lord, just one more. Lord, just one more. Lord, just one more soul. One more person rescued. One more person experiencing the cross. That the cross has the final word in their life. And I want to say from the bottom of my heart, Easter, Good Friday, my favorite holidays. I decorate like crazy for Christmas. I love Christmas. But Good Friday and Easter, that is why I'm here. That's why I live. That's why I have a place in heaven. Good Friday, why is it good? Because the cross has the final word in your life. Because if you're outside of Christ, you can come to him today. Because no matter how much you've messed up, the blood of Jesus covers your sin. And the resurrection, Jesus triumphed over death and hell, and nothing can touch you, brother and sister. You belong to him, and I hope and pray that this Easter, that you will experience the glorious wonder that the cross has the final word, that resurrection power is in you, and that you will never be the same, and you can go from glory to glory to glory in this life. And you will be in his presence in the one to come. God bless you. Happy Easter. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord instill in your heart that the cross has the final word.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.